Yes, everyone knows they're being recorded.
Wait, were we being recorded?
Yeah.
In Illinois, you're supposed to inform me of that beforehand. Wait, too.
You wouldn't get much other than a bunch of Funko Pops you don't want.
I am not Bob Iger. I will not waste my money investing in Funko Pops.
Hi, this is John DeLancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Is coming undone. Imperial flags reign across the galaxy.
Can you be trusted without your shackles?
Let's just get this over with, shall we?
We have a mission for you. A major weapons test is imminent. We need to know how to destroy it.
If you're really doing this, I want to help.
Good.
Good. I've been recruiting for the Rebellion for a long time.
They destroyed our home!
I fight the Empire now.
I fear nothing. All is as the Force wills it.
The captain says you are a friend. I will not kill you.
Thanks. Isn't much time. Every day they grow stronger.
There is a 97.6% chance of failure.
He means well.
This is our chance. Are you with me?
All the way.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009. I'm, of course, TFG1 Mike. Joining me once, almost as always, is Mr. Dave Draper. Hello, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not dead yet. I'm getting better.
Same here.
Yeah. Yeah, we just had quite the conversation before we started. It's like two old men. Oof.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And today, folks, we are going to head back to a galaxy far, far away and talk about more Star Wars films. And I will say right off the top, folks, I was wrong. I don't remember what the hell I said 6 years ago, whatever it was. I was wrong.
Have you noticed that every time I talk you into watching a film, you like it?
You know why that is, though? Is because after all this time podcasting, I've learned to go in with an open mind for stuff that I either don't know, haven't seen in a long time, or don't remember, or like I'm more open-minded now than I was 15 years ago when I started podcasting.
I think that's some of it. Yeah.
Now, but I more open-minded.
Also, yeah. I like I don't know if we're going to get on this topic or not, but like I tend to only recommend stuff that I'm pretty confident people will like. You know what I mean?
I'm the same way. Yeah.
Like there's stuff I like, which again we might get into because I think you're going to bring it up. Like there's a movie that I really like, but I don't know that it's for everybody. So it's okay.
Well, what movie?
Lost World.
Oh.
I love The Lost World, but I understand it has a lot of flaws.
Okay. Yeah, we may get to that at some point this year. We got a lot of Star Wars stuff to do still, though, unfortunately. Or fortunately.
I mean, we've got the original trilogy, we've got The Mandalorian, and then doesn't it, like after the second Mandalorian, didn't they just get smart and not do any more?
Unfortunately not, because as I told you when you said that to me, I was like, unfortunately not, because we've already covered some of it, so.
Yeah, but I'm waving my hand like crazy, like Qui-Gon, like. There are only three more Star Wars films. Star Wars and two films. Seasons of Mandalorian.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
And then you stop. Like, I had a friend who started watching The Mandalorian. I'm like, stop after the second season. Don't watch Book of Boba Fett. And she was like, no, I think we're going to keep up with it. And then she's like, why do we watch Book of Boba Fett? I'm like, I told you not to.
Isn't that – because I won't. I straight refuse, and I'm sorry to Dave and to anyone who is a fan of the character. I hate Boba Fett. Boba Fett is the single most useless character in the entire Star Wars universe, in my personal opinion. I've never liked him. Never cared.
I'm sure there are more useless characters, but like I was never part of the cult.
Okay, well, that's good. Please.
You know what I mean?
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
You know, the armor looked cool, but he really didn't do much, and I was never that impressed with him. And I think people who know me from Toy World Order and beyond know that I love Bossk. But that's basically because he looks like a dinosaur.
Yep.
And literally that's all there is to that character, is he looks cool.
Yeah.
But like, you know, Boba Fett was okay. I didn't hate him. I never got why people were obsessed with him.
Yeah, and that's my problem too. Like, initially I didn't hate him, but the problem I have is he doesn't do anything. Like, it's kind
of
like
he gets clowned in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, exactly.
A blind dude with a stick takes him out.
And I know, exactly. I know that you're going to chastise me for what I'm about to say, but Boba Fett is to Star Wars what Indiana Jones is to Raiders of the Lost Ark. If you take him out, the movie still happens. The same. Well,
I mean, that's, I mean, one of my all-time favorite movies is Big Trouble in Little China, where the whole point of the film is that Kurt Russell is useless. Until the very end, which is what makes that movie perfect, is that he is a blustering, loudmouth clown who is useless in every way, except at the very end he does the thing that he established he's good at, saves the day. Mm-hmm. But you've never seen you have seen Big Trouble in Little China.
If I have, it's been a long time. I don't remember. I'm sorry. I will. And just adding to the list, folks.
It's an acquired, not everybody's going to get, you got to understand, it's a commentary about Western action-adventure movies, directed by John Carpenter, written by the guy who wrote Buckaroo Banzai.
Okay.
So, I love, it's got a, what's her name? She's from Sex and the City, Kim Cattrall. A young Kim Cattrall. Yeah, it's great. It's got James Hong as the villain. I love it. I've got the poster. It's one of my favorite movies. Kurt Russell is brilliant in it.
Very cool. Yes, we will. There are plenty of future episodes of this show that we could do that we could dedicate at least one to that.
Oh my god!
Again,
I'm gonna have to school you. When were you born?
80. The year of your movie you like. The year of the depressing movie.
What depressing movie?
Empire. Empire. It has such a down ending. All Jedi had was a bunch of Muppets. Sorry, I'm quoting Clerks again.
Clerks you've seen.
Yeah.
Clerks you've seen, but you haven't seen the classics. These children today.
Ladies and gentlemen, old man with stick. You can't see him, but he's shaking his stick.
I am shaking my fist at clouds like you would not believe.
That's right.
Out of the corner of my back door, I can see a little tiny triangle-shaped bit of sky. Yep. And I'm shaking my fist at every cloud that passes.
Yep. Absolutely. So, getting into Rogue One, just the facts. Directed by Gareth Edwards, screenplay by Chris White. The story was done by John Knoll and Gary Whitta, and the screenplay was done by Chris White and Tony Gilroy. Tony Gilroy, man, I'm loving that guy. He's awesome.
Yeah, well, he was also the main force behind the Andor spinoff series.
Yep. Which, again, is another reason why I really appreciated this more than I did the first time, because as I said in our Andor Season 1 episode, I need to start at the story's beginning. And if this isn't the story's beginning of a certain character that doesn't end up continuing on because the planet blew up, but yeah, stupid planet killers. Obviously, based on characters by Lucas, produced by some woman that
Kathleen Kennedy. Look, she had a. I guess she's controversial in some circles, but I mean, she had a career before this, and honestly, I feel that her tenure at Lucasfilm was not a, like, because she produced Rogue One, she produced Andor. I mean, we got Mandalorian season one and two. Like, she gets as much credit for those as she does the stuff that doesn't work, in my opinion.
Okay. So. And Gareth Edwards, the director, man, he's just like starting out, even though he's been around since about 2010 or so, or 2008 or 2007 in other credits. But for directing Monsters, Godzilla, Rogue One, and a film that we'll be talking about at some point later this year, most likely, the new one that you like, The Creator. Like, that's it. He's got four films as a director.
I mean, I haven't seen The Creator. I just thought it looked very impressive, and it was done relatively cheaply.
Yeah, and I don't go into the good. I'll start and stop at Jurassic Park. Thank you. I don't need Godzilla in my life.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Sorry.
One of the worst things about what I've been going through lately is that I missed Godzilla Minus One.
Oh, no.
I couldn't get to the theater. And it's like, I'll get it when it comes out on home, whatever. But yeah. They made that for $15 million.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous. Like, apparently some effects aren't great, but like the ones I've seen look fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Yeah. And I've heard that they're going to do a black and white version like
that. They've done it. They've released it.
Okay, they did.
Godzilla Minus Color.
No.
What they called it.
That's hilarious. And
some people
it.
Say it's even better.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well,
you know, famously, the original Godzilla was in color, but then they added the scenes with Raymond Burr for an American audience,
right.
And they screwed up and they filmed that in black and white. So when they released the cut film to the Americans, they had to redo it all in black and white.
Yep. So Rogue One, it takes place before, it leads up to what we will get to next time around, but it basically takes place during the rise of the Empire.
No, it takes place literally minutes. I mean, almost like I believe it's been a long time since I've actually watched Star Wars. Uh-huh. But don't the opening title crawl say that the rebellion has won a battle? And gotten the Death Star plans. It's all about that battle.
Yes.
And getting the Death Star plans.
Yep. That's what
this is. It's not the lead up. Andor's the lead up. Like, this is like the last shot of this film almost directly leads into the first shot of the next film.
Yeah, which is good. Which is absolutely good. So research scientist Galen Erso and his family hide on some planet I can't.
Oh, yeah, there is. I always forget there's that little flashback. Not flashback, but like it does start a little earlier than the main part of the movie.
Yeah.
Forget about that.
Yeah.
I do. I just, you know.
I know. So we then fast forward to 15 years later with Bodhi, who's defecting from the Empire because, you know, that's just the smart thing to do. We meet up with Cassian. We see – and again, I don't know what I was thinking 6 years ago when I first watched this because I didn't catch anything back then. I caught it. I'm like, ooh, Yavin. Ooh, this. Ooh, that. Like all of the notes I wrote was just like, oh, God, how completely wrong was I? And I didn't realize a certain character, which we all know and love, sort of maybe, I don't know, ends up showing up like three different times. I was like, oh, I thought he only showed up at the end because that's all I remember is the end of the movie. At least until I watched it this time. And again, I'm glad we did Andor before we did this because it adds more to Cassian for me. So there's that. And
did you catch like a little in the battle on Scarif at the end? Mm-hmm. The guy that Andor keeps talking to, like his lieutenant that he keeps giving orders to, Melchick. That's the guy that escaped the prison with him in Andor. Okay, well, I didn't know.
Oh yeah. No, that's so cool. That's awesome. Again,
the first time I saw it, Yandor didn't exist, so I didn't even realize those had a connection.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the reasons why I usually like waiting for a lot of things, because especially when the full story isn't out yet. But anyway.
Well, I mean, that story, like, you got to remember, with Star Wars especially, a lot of stuff didn't exist at the time they made the things.
Right.
When they made Rogue One, they didn't know there was going to be an Andor. Because there are a couple of things in Rogue One that don't mesh up with Andor.
Right.
Like when they're being held by Saw Gerrera and the guys are like, oh, we've been in worse places. And Andor's like, oh, I haven't. I'm like, sir, do you forget your time in an Imperial prison making bits for the Death Star? And that was pretty freaking hopeless.
Yeah, that was, and you're right. But when I heard that line, I was like, oh, that just means he got out of it. Whatever that's how I read into it. I'm probably completely wrong because I'm usually completely wrong on a lot of the stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, I really dug this. I thought it was fun.
I'm glad.
It is.
You know, I really love this film. It may actually be my second favorite Star Wars film after Empire.
Okay.
Because it has everything. It's got the space battle. It's got a ground battle. I love the character of Chirrut, Donnie Yen.
Okay, yeah. You know,
he basically plays the same character in John Wick 4. I think he's even blind in John Wick 4, if I recall. Mm. But I love... When we first saw it in the theaters, my friend John and I, we had Jason, John, my friend Jason, Duvall.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And another friend, John, were all watching it. And at one point, they mentioned that Chirrut and Blaze are the Wills. And John and I went, because that's such a deep piece of Star Wars lore, the Wills. Mm-hmm. If you read the novelization for Star Wars, there's a mm-hmm. quote at the very beginning, which is taken from the Journal of the Wills. And forever, people were like, what are the Wills? What does that mean? And I guess now it means that they were non-Jedi guardians of the Jedi Temple. I absolutely love that these guys had the Force, but didn't have it. They weren't Jedi. Mm-hmm. They still could use the Force. They understood the Force. Because it's something that I don't like about Star Wars, and I actually kind of think it might tie into why the Jedi had to be wiped out, because the prophecy says that the Jedi and the Sith have to be both wiped out. Mm-hmm. But the idea that the Luke says in Last Jedi, the Force is not a power you have, and I think the Jedi see it as like the Force is their thing to play with, but it's created by all living things. It connects all of us. And I always wish they would do more with that concept, that the Force isn't something that the Jedi and Sith have, that we all have it. It belongs to all of us. And I love that Chirrut believes in the Force so much. I mean, you know, in a way, the movie kind of retroactively explains why Stormtroopers seem so bad, because the Force is with our heroes.
Hmm.
Like, he walks out in that crossfire and doesn't get hit. I mean, they got to, like, throw a grenade at him to take him out, which I was like, XCOM!
Yeah.
But I love that. I love that character. He's one of my favorite characters in Star Wars. Yeah, I really enjoy that film. I love the whole space battle over Scarif. I love the ground. There's a moment when the AT-AT walks out of the tree line and Blaze launches a rocket at it. And it hits the AT-AT, and the AT-AT, the head kind of swings and then swings back, and you're like, oh no. Like, when I was a kid, I had an AT-AT. Mm-hmm. And around that time, I had a lot of the early first and second wave of G.I. Joes. And those guys had like bazookas and mortars. And that was a scene that was played out in my living room floor, where they launched rockets at the AT-AT, and the AT-AT just shrugged them off. So I was in heaven watching that film. And I enjoyed it. Every time I've watched it again, I've still enjoyed it.
Again, I don't know what I was thinking 6 years ago, but watching this movie, like you said, it pretty much has everything. And my thought, like, halfway through the movie was like, holy crap, this is Star Wars Empire and Jedi rolled into one movie. How did they do that? I know how they did it, obviously, but, you know, it was really, really cool.
As a Star Wars nerd, I love seeing Mon Mothma on Yavin.
Yep.
That was always a question I had, was like, why isn't Mon Mothma on Yavin? Why did we wait till Jedi to find out who she even was?
Yeah.
And I love that it's very ground level, that it's kind of the first thing Cassian does is shoot a guy for being a liability.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that, because, you know, you when you're a child, you get caught up in the romance and the fairy tale aspect, right? The chosen prince and the princess, and they're the special ones, and they're blah, blah, blah. But when you get older, you realize that, like, life is dirty. Wars are very dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the guys on the right side do things they're not always proud of. And but this one, you know, the idea that the pedestal that Luke got to stand on was built on a foundation of people doing some nasty, dirty, you know, I mean, it's a very gritty, very ground-based, very grunt. I love that it's about the grunts, mm-hmm. rather than the royalty, the midichlorian royalty. It's about the guys that actually made the rebellion happen.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, like one of the things is you find out why the Rogue Five call sign was open. Because you got invested in Scarif. You find out why there wasn't a Blue Squadron. I love all that stuff.
Yeah, I did too. Everything about this movie, and every character gets a really good moment. Saw gets a good moment. Cassian gets several. Jin, this is her movie, essentially, really.
And it's interesting because apparently if you watch the trailers, they apparently reshot a lot of stuff. And they smoothed a lot of her rough edges over, which I'm kind of disappointed about. Because they wanted to make her more likable. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's okay, but I would have liked her a little saucier. You know, a little kind of more, tougher.
Yeah. And I can see that, and I thought that's where it was going to go a little bit too, but it didn't. I was not expecting, and it really isn't, but I'm going to say it is. I was not expecting at the end, and I know why it is, because it was the end. Like, the kind of sort of, and this is probably just me reading into it, love story sort of thing with her and Cassian. Like, I know that's not what it is. I understand that. But look, you put two fairly attractive people next to a sunset or a sunrise before the planet blows up.
You're gonna know the sunrise. That was the
apocalypse on the horizon. I know the apocalypse is on the horizon. But hello, I'm generalizing here. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
I think it wasn't a romance. It was two people facing the end, mm-hmm. and having gone through this experience and reaching out for human comfort.
Yep.
They comforted each other at the end.
I agree with that. I said a moment ago, like, this feels like Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi rolled into one, yet the pacing of it was great. Like, there's no slow moments. There's no, like, oh my God, that went by too fast, or there was no real, at least I didn't see any real blink and you miss it moments. Maybe I did. I don't remember. But like, this kept my attention the entire time.
I was surprised. I didn't remember it being so long because I had to take a break for physical reasons. Mm-hmm. And like, I watched like a first maybe 40 minutes. I'm like, okay, I'll take a break and then come back. And then it was like there was another hour and 30 minutes. I was like, wow. Okay. But it never felt. You know, some movies go on forever and you feel it. And this one didn't. Like, I was like, I guess I got to take another break at some point. I never did. Like, when I came back, I watched all 130 minutes. Like,
It's 134 minutes. It's.
Is it? Okay. Well, maybe I'm just.
And No, it's fine. And it's. Usually when movies get too long or when they are 2 hours and some odd, like I think if 134 minutes is roughly about 2 hours and 34 minutes, whatever the hell it is, I don't know. But usually when movies get too long, there will be a moment where I think, oh, this is where they're going to leave it. Like, you know, hour and 50 minutes. Oh, this is a scene where they could leave this movie off and figure it out next time. And then I'm like, oh, wait, no, it continues on. Okay, I'll sit here and watch. I don't know what happened. So at the time of recording this, folks, it's about just under 24 hours till my 44th birthday. And the night before we recorded this, I was on a different recording for a live stream show that I do on YouTube called Kai Dragon Media. And apparently I was super energized because I watched this at 11 p.m. last night. Up until like 1 or 2 or 3 a.m., whatever the hell long. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what happened after that show last night, but I was awake until 4 a.m. this morning. Because I'm like, I need to watch this movie. Because if I don't watch this movie and I go to sleep now and I get to a point where it's like 10 a.m., I'm like, fuck, Dave, I haven't watched the movie yet.
Dude.
But no.
People listening to this don't realize – this recording was postponed for like 2.5 months. we waited the last damn minute.
Uh-huh. Yep. Well, you know, it's like Marty always says, why do we always have to cut these things so damn close? And one of the reasons why I usually wait until like 4 or 5 hours before a podcast recording is so I can remember what the hell I watched. Because the way my brain runs is it will run out on me and not remember stuff.
Yeah, I kind of get that.
But I took a bunch of notes, and I took of this, and I took of that, and I know what I like, and I know what I don't like, and there isn't much that I don't like here. Honestly, this might end up getting a 5 out of 5 for me, because I can't think of any scenes that I don't like. I will say, and maybe this is just because it's been a while since we did the Andor episode, I didn't remember K2SO at all.
Oh yeah, he's a big part. Like that's what I loved about Andor was he's such a big part of this film and he's so funny and charming.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see those things in Andor and they're terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like that. But yeah, I mean everything about this movie from the my Facebook profile is public. If people want to see the photos, they can see. I took like 9 screenshots from this movie, including the title sequence, the main title card, whatever. But I'm like, ooh, I like this, I like this, I like that. Like, wow, that's cool. And 3 of those shots were Darth Vader.
Yeah, that's the I like the stuff with Darth Vader. I do feel like there's a big split between the hallway sequence at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Where some people love that stuff, and I'm kind of like, it's a little pandering fanboy service.
It is, but it's only because they were trying to point Pete. Like, again, we live in a time now where we have had the Marvel Cinematic Universe and everything else, and we have this story order format thing. So I kind of get it. And I remember when I first saw it, that, again, that's the only scene I really remember from 6 years ago. But when I saw it this time, I was like, I know it's coming. But I was more impressed with the way the fighters were like, oh, shit, what's coming? And then you see it and like, oh, damn. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah,
well,
no.
It's funny because I have a little, like, it's a little bit of a story, but stick with me. I used to play the online game Star Wars Galaxies.
Yep.
And there was a thing where they would do, like, you know, you could be an Imperial, you could be a Rebel, and they would sort of do Rebel versus Imperial battles.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out quickly why they didn't do that as often as they kind of intended to, because it was like everybody wanted to coordinate everything and everybody wanted to be a pain in the ass. We're going to attack at 6, we're going to blah, blah, you know, like. They were negotiating, and it's like, dude, let's just get on with this. And it was outside the city of Coronet, which is in Solo, a Star Wars story, and mm-hmm. there was this river. And the Rebel side were getting tired because the Imperial side were dragging their feet and just screwing around. And so the Rebels started launching these raids into the Imperial camp. And there was I forget what you call them, like a mod or like someone official from the company, Sony Online,
mm-hmm.
who was there to basically just observe.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in the form of Darth Vader.
Oh, wow.
And he got tired of the Rebels constantly running over and, like, attacking, you know. So when the next wave of Rebels ran over and attacked, he slaughtered them. And as the battle began, we're standing on the bank of this river, and Darth Vader starts walking down the bank of the river, and everybody panics and scatters. Because mm-hmm. the story had come back from the people who got killed. Darth Vader's killing people. And just everybody, like, so it was like a real life version of that.
Yeah.
So, like, seeing that in the movie was kind of cool that, like, all, like, except they couldn't go nowhere.
Yeah, pretty much. And I know it's the same race, but all as I kept thinking when I saw Admiral Raddus was, that's not Akbar.
He dies, like, so yeah, it's not
yeah no I know but the whole time at first when up until I heard them say his name I was like, when did Admiral Akbar turn blue?
You racist.
What?
Come on, cow look alike. fun fact, in I believe it's Last Jedi, the ship they're on for most of that movie is the Raddus.
I am Paul Casey voice. Oh, he's voiced by. Oh, wow. Awesome. That's cool. I did not know that. But Stephen Stanton was the voice for Raddus in the movie. And Stephen has done a bunch of stuff in the Star Wars universe. So much stuff. Very, very cool. Well, he was Admiral Ack. Wow. He was Tarkin in Bad Batch.
Okay.
And what else was he? He did a bunch. I swear he did more Star Wars stuff. Clone Wars. He's been Tarkin the whole time. He was also Morallo Evel and Meeber Gascon, whoever Gascon is. I don't remember that. It's been a while since I watched Clone Wars. It's actually been about 3 years since I watched Clone Wars. So what were you going to say?
Well, I think one issue I had with the film originally, which ironically Andor has kind of changed my opinion about, is I wasn't the biggest fan of how weird Saw Gerrera was.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see Andor and you can see that beginning of the paranoia and the craziness. Like he's not there yet, but you can see where he spirals into the guy that he becomes in Rogue One.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like it makes it better.
Yeah, it does. And I'm so used to seeing Saw in animation than I am in live action. And I was like, wait, he's really that bad off? And then I remember back to Andor. I'm like, oh, right. Yeah, Damn. Poor Saw. That's the other thing I kept thinking about this movie is everybody dies, practically.
Well, that's how they get around. Well, how come this guy wasn't in Star Wars? Because he's dead. I also like that it kind of explains why they were kind of down to the last couple of X-Wings.
Yep.
You know? Because they burned through their fleet in that battle, man. They burned through everything.
Absolutely. And man, the X-Wing TIE Fighter stuff in this, holy crap. Like, it's not the level of, like, Luke going up against the TIE Fighters and stuff, but it's damn close because you have the whole X-Wing squadron and then whichever idiots under Tarkin, I forget what his name is, but...
Director Krennic.
Yeah, Krennic, there you go.
Orson Krennic.
Yep. Which, wasn't that also a Star Trek character? Yeah. Whoa, Orson wait a Krennic? Minute.
I don't know.
Yeah, in season one of Next Gen. He was the guy that got spaceballed. He was the lead spaceball character for the... It's in season one, episode 25. It's the conspiracy episode.
I actually like that one. I was they never followed through on it.
Thank God they never followed through on it.
I like that one.
No, I like if
then
it
they
wasn't...
kind of then they kind of like did this hand wave that trills are kind of related to those things.
But I think his name was Krennic too. I don't remember.
Well,
it's fine. It's a name. It's whatever. But again, it's just some. But like, yeah. So Krennic, he basically just like shrugs his shoulders in frustration. TIE fighters, go get. He doesn't say it this way, but TIE fighters, go get him. You see this swarm, literal beehive swarm of TIE. I don't think I've seen that many TIE fighters in live action in ever, because. Like you said, by the
there were, like when you were saying it's all the movies put together. I mean, that's the most Jedi part.
Yeah, absolutely, it is, and I love it for that. I love the space battles. I'm not really a for Endor was fine, and we'll get to Endor eventually. But I don't know, man. I've never really been a super, and I know this is space fantasy. It's not, you know. Like
yeah, it is fantasy. It's not science fiction.
Yeah,
like it's fantasy with the sci-fi trappings.
Yes,
but it is a fantasy story.
Yes,
it's space and wizards and laser swords.
That's right. But my point is, like, you take Star Wars and you take Lord of the Rings, two very different aspects of a similar genre, two very different landscapes of a similar genre. I'm going to pick the space battles over giant hobbit feet any day.
Well, okay, I think that's not really the fair comparison. I would say it's more space battle versus the Battle of Pelennor Fields. But yeah, I get it. Like, yeah. And like, I love Lord of the Rings, but Star Wars is my first love.
Yeah.
And part of it is the space battles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the World War II aspect. It was fantasy and World War II.
Yep. And... while I can do some magic and fantasy stuff with like He-Man and Masters of the Universe, that kind of thing, I prefer the technology side of things. I prefer the spaceships, the shuttles, the this, the that. Throw a few laser swords in there, fine. I have no problem. That's great.
The term I've heard thrown around a lot lately is gear porn. where guys like stuff, you know? Yep. They like spaceships. They like cars. They like guns. They like they like stuff. They like junk. They like gear.
Yep.
And Star Wars is, well, because Lucas himself was a car guy. Mm-hmm. So it's very gear porn heavy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's not a bad thing.
It wasn't intended as a pejorative.
Yeah, let me ask you, because the one thing I did kind of didn't get or didn't, because if this takes place right before...
Literally, they hand away the plans at the end.
Yeah, I know. But okay, so the reason why I'm trying to say is Mr. Smith's over there, Mr. Organa. He says somebody asks him about his Jedi friend.
Yeah, Obi-Wan.
Oh, okay. So it was okay.
Well, yeah, it was Obi-Wan. He's like, can you trust the person you're sending with the mission? He's like, I would trust her. He's sending Leia to go find Obi-Wan. That's how Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Like okay.
It's basically.
Well, the way that it was asked of the way that, and I could be.
Well, they're trying to be cute. I mean, they're not trying to have Mon Mothma go, hey, your friend, General Obi-Wan Kenobi, who is on Tatooine, can you send someone to go get him? And he's like, no, I will send my daughter.
Yeah, no, I get it. But I think the way that I read into the line of the way that he was asked was that, oh, this Jedi is still active. When we know he's not, he's in hiding.
I didn't get that from the line at all.
I don't know. And again, like I said, we all read into things differently in different times, different ways. But the way that I heard, like literally, I'm thinking, and I know this is never going to happen because this is not the way it happened. I'm like, oh, I wonder if a young female with two white lightsabers is going to show up. I know that isn't going to happen, obviously. Oh. But like that was my, and that's maybe because I've watched too much. And I know you're going to say there's no such thing, but. I've watched too much Star Wars in the last 4 or 5 years because my first thought was to like, oh wait, how are they going to fit her in here? And then I'm like,
they're
oh
not.
Right,
that's always the problem.
I know they're not. I understand. I know. And I'm like, oh right, not.
I mean, there's a meme on Facebook. You know the annoyed guy at a basketball game meme.
Yeah. Like
there's one of those where like Yoda says, "The last of the Jedi will you be," and then it's like Ahsoka. And the guy from the video game, and this guy, and that other Jedi. Like, there's like 4 or 5 Jedis that are out there that, you know, are like, excuse me.
Yeah. What else about Rogue One? Anything else?
One of the things I really love about the film is the U-Wing, the ship they're flying on.
Hmm.
It's one of the things that I was annoyed and disappointed about in the sequels, where, like, They went too hard with these are the things you know, X-Wings, TIE Fighters. Like it's been 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're flying X-Wings and TIE Fighters. And then in Rogue One, which takes place at the exact same time as Star Wars, you've got these ships you've never seen before, which I love. And someone was like, well, how come we never saw those in the original trilogy? And I was like, well, in the original trilogy, they had the Falcon, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's basically what a U-Wing is, like a medium transport ship.
Mm-hmm.
So and they might have lost all of them in the Battle of Scarif because they didn't exactly have a lot of resources. So it's like you didn't need one in the original trilogy, but you need one for this one because they don't have the Falcon. And I liked it. I liked the design. There are TIE fighters that are designed for atmospheric flight with the flat wings. Like just I love gear porn. I love the new stuff. I love expanding the universe rather than contracting it to nostalgia. I mean, like Abrams was like, this is the stuff you know. And it's like, yeah, I get that. And I get that. One of the things I really loved about the prequels were the new ships, you know?
Yep.
I love the Naboo ship, which is why I wasn't really that salty that Mando got one. I love the, I can't remember what it's called. It's in Revenge of the Sith. It's the big one. It's a big 3-seater and it kind of has the S, they have S foils.
Yes, I know what you.
I love that ship. Like there was just, I like that they move stuff forward rather than like I'm fine with a couple of nods,
mm-hmm.
and stuff tying together. But I like it better when they move stuff forward rather than, look, it's X-Wings because you know what an X-Wing is. You're fans. It's like okay, that's all they've come up with, and it's a 2-seater TIE fighter because we need it for the plot.
I like the X-Wings and the TIE Fighters, but I also like seeing some of the other ships and seeing what the other ships can and will do.
Well, I mean, in goddamn Return of the Jedi, they had A-Wings and B-Wings. Like that was part of the narrative was that they had developed new ships during war, as people do, as opposed to like, you know, it would be like them flying Vietnam era jets over the Middle East these days. And someone's going to come back. I do know that our fleet is very old, like, and it, but it's not that old.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have a question for you. How did you, because it's become a bigger thing now. I mean, it was a thing at the time, mm-hmm. but I think in general, broader entertainment sense, it's become bigger. How did you feel about Tarkin and Leia being kind of CGI puppets? I mean, there were actors that
So they used the actors that they used, and I don't have their names in front of me for the life of me anymore. I did, but I don't know. I like the way they move. I think it's great. I love the way they look, and I love the way they sound.
I meant more like ethically.
Well, okay, ethically, I think they did a good job. Like, it's not.
Well, I assume Carrie Fisher was still alive, so I assume she gave
right. permission. Probably. I mean, look, I didn't dislike it. I didn't feel like it was an insult to either one of them.
No, I don't either.
Played the characters before, you know, and again, because, you know, what are you going to do? Especially doing a story that basically bounces right up against the film that started it all 47 years ago. I have no problems with it because they did it with respect. It would be a huge difference if they took Principal Skinner and made him into Krusty the Clown kind of thing. Like, it would be a huge difference if they did something so uncharacter-like, or they found a way to do it to where it wasn't homaging the original actor that portrayed the role. But they didn't do that. They made it look and sound like those characters, and I'm perfectly fine. It actually adds more to, especially with Rogue One, because
I think you had to have Tarkin. Like, yeah, I don't think you needed the Leia cameo. I mean, you could have just seen her from the back.
Yeah.
But like Tarkin, you kind of needed because he clearly was important in the Death Star.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, and again, that was the other side of this film, and we haven't really talked about that too much, but construction of the Death Star. Like, we never really saw, like, by the time you get to 1977, boom, it's there. It's online, you know, in triplicate. And I love how they only use the most lowest power setting in this movie. They don't use the full force of the battle station.
Yeah, there's a line in the film about that. We want to make a statement, not a manifesto.
Yes, and later they're going to make a manifesto.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dantooine's far too remote to make an effective statement.
Yeah, no, but I liked it. I do agree with you, though. We didn't necessarily need the Leia, but I'm glad we got it. Like, if we just had like, oh, by the way, there's this princess in this cell. But we kind of get that again in the actual original film. So, I don't know. Like I said, at the end of the day, I didn't have a problem with it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great, especially since neither one of them are with us anymore. And it's just one way to homage what they gave us. I was really surprised. Like, again, even though I keep repeating myself, I only remember the final scene before I watched it again. And in the final scene, he doesn't say anything. He just lights up his sword and goes to town. So I was and was not surprised that, hey, look, it's the voice.
Yeah, they got James Earl Jones.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Now, this was a lot more fun than I ever gave it credit for. I'm sorry that I didn't give it enough credit 6 years ago. And this is like I said, out of the ones that we've done to this point so far, like, I don't remember. Go back and listen to episode 66, folks. Yes, I'm giving you order 66. And you can hear what we rated Revenge of the Sith. But yeah, 5 out of 5 for Rogue One for me. I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, I mean, 5 out of 5. It is probably my number 2 top Star Wars movie. I love it. I mean, I'll always love the original. I'll always love Jedi. It's beaten by Empire almost entirely because of sentiment and nostalgia. Because it's got Han Solo at Harrison Ford's peak.
Yep.
And it really features the Falcon. And there's a lot of love for that. But, I mean, in terms of a Star Wars conflict.
Yes. Like,
Rogue One's got it. It's got the ground battle, and it's got the space battle. It's got a beat. It's got a spy story. Yep. You know, it's got cool characters. And yeah, it does have kind of, like, I kind of like the dark ending, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I like it because it leads somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll get into this when we discuss the next movie, the next three movies, actually, but two out of the three are the next ones, but I'll say it now, because again, repeat. As a kid in 1980, yeah, I probably saw it in 87. Yeah, I was 7 years old when I saw Star Wars, probably. So 10 years after it came out, I remember it was probably on cable or something, thrown on HBO, because my mom used to pay for HBO because she just loved doing that and because it was cool at the time. I remember seeing Star Wars. And the only thing that bugged me as a 7-year-old was, wait, that's it? They get medals, everybody goes home, what the fuck? And obviously as a 7-year-old, I didn't say what the fuck, but that's been my ultimate negative sticking point my whole life to that movie, is holy crap, it just ends. Like, I'm not looking for a specific, like, hey kids, come back for the after credits scene or anything like that. I was just looking for an ending that was more than, that's it, they get medals because they beat the guy. Or they kind of beat the guy.
They blew up the Death Star.
Yeah, they blew up the Death Star. Okay.
Kind of a big thing.
I don't, well, yeah. I mean, have you seen the
Mass Effect? My God, how, can you just try to put yourself in the mind of someone in 1977?
No.
Who didn't know that there were three more films.
Yeah,
or two more films. I mean, at the time.
At the time.
But no idea that this was going to go anywhere.
Yeah, no.
And had to wait three years.
And that's the difference between us, is that...
No, there's some other big differences. We were like, because you thought 1987...
Okay, yes, but...
No. This isn't like a criticism. It's just, this is one of my big points that I always made on the old show with Jason, is you had the entire 80s. And I think anyone who looks back, I think a lot of times doesn't understand that, like, for me, movies were like Watership Down. They were like, there were no kids movies in the set. I mean, they were, but they were dark and depressing. And
yeah.
You know, the movies in the 70s were like, the big one was Jaws, which was a teenager movie. And my mom wasn't going to take me to see. But, like, you know, The French Connection, The Godfather, you know, Deer Hunter. These are movies for grownups.
Yeah.
And they're dark and depressing. I mean, you know, Godfather has a super depressing end. They, like, close the doors on poor Diane Keaton. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly this movie comes out of nowhere. And it's full of action and incredible music and hope and excitement. Like, that movie created the 80s. When they were making Superman 2, they were like, we couldn't make this movie 5 years ago. Not because of technical stuff, but because the tone would not have worked.
Yeah, the tone would not have worked. Yeah,
and it led to the 80s. And, you know, and so like you guys, especially because you grew up with like Back to the Future and Raiders and all of Spielberg's films and all this stuff that was like, you know, it was already there. And like, so you look at this quaint little film from 1977, which is okay, it's fun. You know, I mean, there are people who have come along since who love Star Wars. I realize that.
Right.
But a lot of people just look at it like, okay. But, like, it was a sea change for those of us at the time, particularly if you're a kid. Howard Chaykin said that his one great regret in life was that he wasn't 6 years old when he saw Star Wars. And I was. Like, yeah. So I was that age, and having come out of that, you know, we had Watergate and we had Vietnam, which mm-hmm. was a huge influence on Star Wars, actually.
Yeah.
And I remember like, someone pointed that out in like a Facebook post, and someone was like, so the United States is the Galactic Empire? I was like, well, kind of. Not wrong. I mean, the Ewoks are the Viet Cong.
Oh my God.
They are.
I know.
Original draft was they were supposed to be Wookiees. And then Lucas felt that Chewbacca had been depicted as being too sophisticated.
Okay.
In Empire and in, I think, probably the holiday special. Are we going to do the holiday special?
Yes, we're going to do the holiday special.
Okay, like,
gonna,
Have I told you about A Disturbance in the Force?
Just save it for the holiday. We will do the holiday special. Just save the story for then, as long as you remember it till then.
Oh, I'll absolutely remember it.
Okay. Wait a minute. Where does the holiday special take place in canon?
After Star Wars.
Okay.
After the first movie. The second movie hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, okay. Because my thought was, because it's the holiday special, I'm not going to have us do this, because that would just be too cruel to either one of us. No, wait till July and make it Christmas in July.
Well, first of all, it's not Christmas. It's
Life
Day.
I know. It's Life Day. I get it.
Get your holographic porn and your red robes ready. Secondly, it was in November. It was not in December.
Really?
Huh. Yes.
Interesting.
Again, apparently I did not tell you about A Disturbance in the Force, which is a documentary about the making of the holiday special.
Okay, I will watch that. Amazing. Before we do the...
It explains everything.
Well, that's what docuseries are supposed to do. Well,
I know, but like the holiday special in particular, you walk away from that with a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just keep adding stuff to this schedule, folks, which is fine. Has no look, 12 months of Star Wars can go on for many years as long as there's still shit to talk about. All right. Anything else you want to say before I throw it to an ad break?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. We're going to take a quick ad break. You're going to hear some stuff and things and stuff, and we'll be back to close the show right after this.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geek.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Hey, Jared, I have this idea for a new show for the network.
What is it?
You know how I liked the 1990s comic book series, The New Warriors?
Yes.
And you know how at the Long Boss Crusade we're trying to get the YouTube channel going?
Yes, also correct.
Well, thanks. So, how about you and me do a live stream show about the New Warriors? You've never read the books before, and I have them, and so that's a great setup. We could give it a catchy name, like Come Out to Play. Don't you think that's the greatest idea?
Sure, Delvin, that's a great idea. Just one question.
Yeah?
Why do you have me dangling off this ledge, holding me by only one arm?
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll get it soon. I hope. Come Out to Play, a New Warriors podcast, comes to you live on YouTube every second Tuesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Long Box Crusade channel. If you can't watch it there, we replay them on the Long Box Crusade Network podcast feed, available anywhere podcasts can be found. We invite you to come along for the ride, or in other words, New Warriors. Come out to play, yay!
I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music. I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
So let's say you're looking for a podcast of your favorite 80s comic books, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ninja Turtles, He-Man, etc. Where are you going to go to find us? We'll be right back.
Welcome to Star Joe's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm Chuck. That's right, everybody. We're the Star Joes. We host a podcast called Star Joe's Podcast, where we talk about your favorite comic books, your favorite toys of all the 80s properties.
Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask, Thundercats, Voltron, you name it, we cover it. If it's in the 80s, we'll cover it at some point.
Yeah, so what you want to do to find us, you can go to iTunes, you can go to www.starjoes.com.
And remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. Fives all around for Rogue One, a Star Wars story from both myself and Mr. David Draper. You got anything you want to say before I run through the closing, sir?
No, I think it is an underrated gem.
Amongst
the masses. Because it's not conceived as part of the... You know, it's conceived as this extra thing. And it's also the Disney era.
Yeah,
and as I said earlier, when we mentioned the producer, there have been some good things that came out of it. There was a pony in that closet full of shit, after all.
And when I said before the ad break, folks, that 12 months of Star Wars could go on for as long as we still have Star Wars stuff, I have full plans for us to revisit almost everything, but in the form of the music, because that was one thing I did not talk about this entire time. As soon as I finished watching the movie, 8 hours ago, 9 hours, however the hell many hours ago it was.
Soundtrack?
Oh, no, I've got it on Spotify because I use one of those witchcraft subscriptions. Yeah, exactly. But it's easy, witchcraft. You just search for it, you favorite it, and then you got it in your library. But I started listening to the score, and I'm like, Michael Giacchino, absolutely love the guy.
I was going to say, it's funny. The first time I saw it, I did not like the soundtrack.
Really?
Really disliked it. But this time around, because it always felt like he would get close to Star Wars themes.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like listening to someone cover your favorite song,
mm-hmm.
and then they do it differently, and it kind of throws you off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this time around, it seemed like it was more of its own thing, and I liked it more.
Yeah. It is pretty much its own thing outside of when he's doing John Williams-type Imperial Suite, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, yeah.
And he does add his own flair to it a little bit, but Imperial Suite, which is the track for Imperial March, is essentially the Imperial March, but it's got a little bit of Giacchino spin on it, which is fine.
I remember, like, he would get, like it wasn't so much the Imperial stuff, but there were one or two moments where he would get other Star Wars-y and mm-hmm. then sort of veer off, and it rubbed me the wrong way. The Imperial stuff, I mean, he played that pretty much straight up.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked how different it feels like a Star Wars soundtrack. And again, that's one of the things I like about all this other stuff that is not the Skywalker saga, is that it feels like it's the edges of the Skywalker Star Wars universe stuff, but it's also its own thing. And I absolutely appreciated that. And I had that on repeat pretty much up until we started recording this, because absolutely love the score to this one. So with that, thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. We've got about 15 and a half, 16 years of content, I think, over there. That's a lot of stuff, folks. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. We'll have to do that next time. Sorry, Brad. We'll do your dinosaur feedback.
Yeah, that's what I was alluding to at the beginning of the episode.
I
mentioned you were going to talk about that, and I was like,
we will.
I would love to do an episode on Lost World, because again, I'm one of the – apparently he and I are two of the people that actually like that film.
We I'll add it to the list. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients you choose to use. I prefer Spotify, but that's just me. I am still on what I'm calling now Twix, because somebody said it was Twix the other. Hey, look, whatever.
No, it's cute. It's cute.
Yeah. At Geekcast Radio for the network, at It's ITS Studio 2009, all one word, for the show. I am at TFG on Mike. You can check out us on Facebook, facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. And Studio 2009 Podcast, as well as joining the Toy World Orders fans group over there. And next time, folks, we go back to where the galaxy far, far away started all those 47 years ago. And we will be talking about Star Wars. Because that's the title of the movie.
No subtitle. As is proper.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. For now, I'm TFG and Mike with
Dave Draper.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.